This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Hey, how many of you guys were here a couple of weeks ago when Michael Chowning was here? Oh yeah, I see four hands. Okay, come on, get him up. Okay, all right. Hey, he came out and talked in that prison uniform. Man, awesome message. We get the better half today. I'm just saying. Hey, I've been a part of this church since... Another drop mic moment. Okay, no. Since the mid-80s. Okay, I'm just saying that. Just since the mid-80s. And one thing... An ongoing, reoccurring theme with our church is our mission is to raise up an atheist to become a missionary. Now, an atheist, you might think, is a little strong term, so we'll soften it a little bit and say a person without a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our ongoing mission, is to raise someone who... Bring them in off the street, someone who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, disciple them, introduce them to Jesus, watch them grow, and eventually, one day, they'll become a missionary themselves. And not everybody's called to the mission field, but at least St. Joe can be their mission field, and we can go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, and everybody said amen. Okay, well, one thing that... I have had the privilege of doing is watching for the past 3 years. Ushers, would you please take this? All those years, I've seen all of the kids in our youth group grow up, and a lot of them have become full-time ministry themselves. And a handful of them that I know of, I can think of right now, have actually gone on the mission field. And gone to a foreign country, third world country, to the deepest, darkest parts of the earth to spread the gospel. And I think that's awesome. One person in particular, Heather Chowning, yes, she was a product of our church. A lot of you guys in here remember her. I especially remember her growing up as a teenager in our church in youth group, and I can remember her mother, Doris, coming to me personally telling me, she said, if my daughter does not develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, one of us is going to die, and it's not going to be me. Mm-hmm. And she says, truthfully, she says, you understand why some animals eat their young. Yes. I'm just saying, Heather. She's got an awesome word for you today about how she came from who she was to who she is now. Heather, come on down. Up top. Okay.
I just love that introduction. You know, it just sets me up for good things. You know, honestly, it is a real privilege to be here today because it is my home church. I mean, we've known each other. A lot of us in this room, we've known each other for 20, 30, you know, 40 years. I mean, I don't know if I've known anybody that long, but definitely 30 years. And I want to kind of give you a little synopsis of what Randy's talking about, because it's true. I mean, when I was a teenager, when I was growing up, I hated church. I literally did. I had a real bad experience, just not this experience, but just growing up, I just had bad decisions. I don't know. I was just making these wrong choices. I remember going to youth camp. You ever go to youth camp when you were a kid? You go to youth camp and you come back and people are so excited and the kids were all so excited and they come up and give testimony about like how God spoke to them. A lot of these kids got up and they're telling the whole congregation that God's called them to be a missionary. I looked at those kids and I thought, you are nuts. I mean, why in the world would you want to do that? You know, they're like giving testimony, like, oh, praise God, I'm going to Africa. I'm like, you are nuts. There's no way I want to do that. I mean, missionary was not on my list of things to do in my life. I just never wanted to do it. But when those kids got up to give a testimony, I remember thinking, why didn't God speak to me? why didn't God talk to me at youth camp? So I asked God. I said, God, I remember it was one of those Wednesday night services. We were at Riverside in Mitchell, this church, and we had this blue chapel. I don't know if you ever remember that, if you all were out there at that time. And this blue chapel, I remember going down on my knees, hands and knees, praying to God, God, give me a word. What do you want me to do? And I had no idea. I was 12 years old. I didn't know how to hear from God. So I did what any 12-year-old might do. I just opened the Bible and put my finger down. I closed my eyes and I played Russian roulette with God, no pun intended. I put my finger down in the Bible, I opened it up, and it landed right on Matthew 28:19. I kid you not, this is a true story. Matthew 28:19 says this, you all know it. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I closed my Bible so quick, you couldn't even see it open. I was so shaken by the word nations. So I thought, well, that's just a fluke thing. Sometimes your Bible just kind of opens up to scripture. And so I thought, well, let me do it again. So I said, God, what do you want? Really? No. Really, what do you want me to do with my life? And so I take it open and I did it again. It's not a good idea. Don't do this at home. I opened my Bible and I put my finger down, and it was the same scripture, but in the book of Mark. Two confirmations to me. And the word in Mark is world. Go into all the world. And I remember, and I thought to myself, this cannot be real. This cannot be happening. I will have to leave my family. I will have to leave my country. I'll have to leave my comforts. And honestly, I wanted the American dream. That's what I was striving for. That's what I wanted in my life. I wanted to make money. I wanted to have a successful job. I wanted to have family. I wanted to be in America. And so what I did from that moment on, I literally turned my back to God. And brick by brick, I started building a wall. A huge, huge wall between me and God. A huge wall that separated my life from the will of God. I went out, I was building bricks of disobedience. I was building bricks of sin. Kimmy, I'll tell you. She helped me build those bricks a couple times. I did everything contrary to what God wanted me to do because I never wanted to do that kind of thing. I never thought it was me. I never thought I could. I never thought I could love God like my mother could love God. I never thought I could do those things. So I turned my back on God. A couple of years went down the road, and I was working at Food Barn. You all remember Food Barn? I was born and raised in St. Joseph. I know it all. I graduated from Central. I was going to Missouri Western. I was getting a degree. And something happened one night. When I came home from work, I was going to full-time student. I was almost 30 hours at work. I mean, I was really trying to, you know, get that American dream. We're always striving for it. More you work, the more harder it gets. So I come home from work one day, and my mom, as in Doris fashion, if you all know her, she's a big ironer. She loves to iron clothes. Who likes to iron? Nobody. Come on. Oh, put your hand down. No man likes that. Chad raised his hand the first time. He's like, yeah, iron clothes. He's like, yeah. So, you know, she's ironing clothes. It's therapeutic for her. If you all need a clothes iron, just come on over. 1339 South 20th Street. She's ironing clothes, and she's watching Benny Hinn at the same time. And I'm like, that's crazy. This Benny Hinn, who is this guy? You know, he's throwing things at people and healing people, and people are falling down. And I thought, this is a fluke. In that moment, when I sat on the edge of, I remember sitting on the edge of a couch, and I was watching that show with her right after I'd worked 5-6 hours, whatever it was. And the Holy Spirit hit me like that. I'll never forget it. I started crying. I started weeping uncontrollably. And my mom's ironing. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. I don't know what is going on in this room. But this is not normal. This is not real. Can this really be happening to me? So I went in my back room and I thought, I'll just go away from this. Whatever TV, whatever is going on in that TV, I'm just going to get away from it. So I go in and I shut my door. And I remember falling on the ground and I literally could not stand up. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit is just literally, I thought I was going to die. And in that moment, I said to God, I said, God, I'll do anything. I thought he was going to kill me. I crawled to my bed and I laid on my bed, tears going down my face. I felt like something was on my chest that I couldn't get off. And I said, God, I'll do anything with my life. And the next morning I woke up and God began to speak to me in gentle ways. Heather, I want you to do this. Go into the youth group and work in there. I work with Cheryl. I worked with you guys, didn't I? I said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to work. And I started working little by little, brick by brick. God started taking these walls down. Now, everyone in this room has experienced this. If you're in this room today, God's removing walls, or he's already removed walls from your life. He had to take those walls off of my life in order for me to be here today. He had to take those walls off of my life because when one day when I went on the mission field and I took a small group, or actually it was about 40 kids, over to Lithuania, and I met my husband there, and God began to change my heart. He was already a missionary in Russia. We met in Lithuania, and that was the rest of my life. I was a missionary. I never thought I'd do it. I never thought I'd like it, but I never wanted to leave. I thought, I'll be buried in this place. God brought us back here for a new season in our life. But I know that I know that I know that if God hadn't taken those walls down in my life, I don't know where I'd be today. Amen? If God hadn't taken walls down in your life, where would you be today? If God hadn't removed barriers in your life, sometimes it's physical barriers. You know, in the 1980s, they built a wall in between East and West Berlin. And it was a wall that the Soviet Union had built in 1961, and it was a wall that separated the Soviet Union from democracy, from freedom. And this wall was so high and so large, it was literally built overnight. The people in East Berlin had no idea what was happening while they slept. The next morning, they were going to go to work in West Berlin, and they couldn't do it. And one day, a president named Ronald Reagan, he stands before, and he stands there in West Berlin, and he gives a speech, and he says these words. I have it right here. He says, "We welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, and the advance of human liberty can only be strengthened by the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that will be unmistakable, that will advance dramatically the cause of freedom and speech." And he says this, I love it. "General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Once that speech was made, 2 years in 1989, that wall came down. And when that wall came down, it was just an amazing thing happened in the Soviet Union, that former Soviet Union. It became Russia, and they liberated countries, and the gospel began to go in, and people by the tens and thousands of millions of people got saved. There's a church in the middle of Moscow. It's a huge, huge church. But when those walls were up and when the Soviet Union was there, that church was demolished. It's called Christos Spasitel. It literally means, and the people of Russia named this church, Christos Spasitel means Christ our Savior. See, the Russian people believed that Jesus was their Savior. The Russian people believed it, but there was a wall that went up between them and God. And when that wall came down, that physical wall, the gospel came in and was able to speak to hundreds and thousands. I was able to go. I was able to see people changed and saved. See, while God is tearing down walls on earth, he's building walls in heaven. He is. He says this in John 14, 22, "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you." See, there are walls in heaven going up for you. God has a place for you. God has a place in heaven for you. God has a place for you, a sinner, me, a sinner. God prepares that place for us. He calls these rooms dwelling places in heaven. It's literally like he's just building little mansions. I don't know what your mansion's going to look like. I don't know what my mansion's going to look like, but it's going to be big. It's going to be bigger than yours. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be huge. It's going to be beautiful. And you all, God has prepared a place for any, it doesn't matter what sin you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. Isn't that wonderful? God has a place for us in heaven. And many walls prevent us from getting there. Oh, in Russia, physical walls had to come down. In Russia, physical walls had to come down in order for the gospel to be preached. My life walls had to break down. But there are people outside the walls of this church that still have walls up between them and God. You know them. I remember going in Russia thinking these walls, these people's lives, well, they'll never come to Jesus. I remember going and hearing the beats of drums of shamans near our house where there was a shamanistic center where the river is. It's kind of like an American Indian type of religion where they drum up spirits and this and that. And these guys were beating these drums. Literally, you could hear the spiritual warfare. I mean, you could hear it. And one night, we couldn't even sleep at night. It was so loud. And Michael, I thought, you're crazy, but he says, stop that in the name of Jesus. Those men couldn't hear because they were quite a ways away. But immediately the Holy Spirit stopped that drumming. See, God can tear down a wall. He can stop things from being built. He can cease the sin. He can cease the disobedience. He can stop that wall. I remember just building rehabilitation centers in Russia because when you build a rehabilitation center, you can actually start a church from that rehabilitation center. You know, vodka and all these other alcoholic things, it's a common thing in Russia. It's not just a stereotype. These things actually happen. One out of three men develop cirrhosis of the liver and die. It says in statistics that more Russian men die on Mondays than any other day of the week. Mondays, because of a heavy drinking weekend. They either get drunk and they pass out on the street when it's minus 40, or they just die because they've drank themselves to death. I remember stepping outside my door and stepping over the bums or the people who had drank too much. To get out of my house, I literally couldn't get out. I had to push the man away from the door. I could smell the alcohol through the door because we lived on the top floor, and they were just trying to find their home. They go up the steps to the top floor. And I was thinking to myself, there's so many walls. There's so many high walls. How do you break that down? How do I help that person? You know, I mean, it was always in the back of my mind. How do I reach that person? You know, there was a girl that was instrumental in my life to lead me to Christ. And some of you might know her. I'm going to change her name. Her name's Sarah. Let's call her Sarah. I remember when I was rededicating my life to the Lord, I was going to Missouri Western, and she would take me to Chi Alpha. She'd take me out to church. She encouraged me. She was a good friend of mine. She became a lesbian. She chose a lifestyle of being a lesbian. Now she's cross-dressing lesbian. And today, I just want to ask you, is there a place for her next to you? That's the question I come about. And I think it's okay to preach that here today, right? Amen. Nobody's going to get offended at that. I would hope not. But let's stretch our minds a little bit. Let's talk about walls. Let's talk about walls that might separate us from reaching that person. Let's talk about walls that might separate you from reaching God, but let's talk about walls that the church might separate the church from reaching a person like that. You know, she said one time on Facebook, not long ago, she just posted, you know, how you post junk on Facebook. It's just like all the time, you know, you're always reading some stupid comment or whatever. You're posting some stupid comment. Let's make it, you know, let's get real. How many posted a stupid comment on Facebook? Oh, nobody in this room, right? No, my comments are always so wise and interesting. Right? Or stupid picture of your food. Ooh, you know, I mean, everybody's done it, right? Look at my good food. Thanks. You know, She posted this comment on Facebook, and she said, "I don't ever want to go to heaven if I have to spend it with Christians." I said, "What? I don't ever want to go to heaven if I have to spend it with Christians." Like, who did that to you? What Christian did that to you? My heart just broke because I'm thinking to myself, what Christian built that wall in your life so high that now you don't even want to spend eternity with Jesus? I don't know. Maybe it's her choice. Maybe it's just her bad decisions. But I want to tear the walls down. You know? Maybe it is her choice. Maybe she is a bad person. Maybe she doesn't do good things. Maybe she drinks too much. Maybe she cusses. I don't know. But how do I get those walls down? I don't care how she built them up. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how she got to that place because I'm there. I built the walls brick by brick up in my life. I did that. But somehow, some way, people in my life chose to help me. They chose to help me tear it down, right? Amen. Somebody helped you. If you're in this room today, somebody helped you get those walls down in your life so that you could be here today. Somebody did. Remember, come on, let's think back. Oh, no, I don't want to go there, Heather. Go there. Think about how you used to be and how many walls were between you and God. Think about it. Walls are important. I got to be honest. Walls are important. I do not want that wall not to be there. Right? Because you know what's behind that wall? You know what's behind that wall, right? The bathrooms. I mean, walls define space. It's a good thing. I don't want that wall, especially. That wall is okay. That wall I don't want down because that's the men's bathroom, right? All the ladies say amen, right? Come on. Walls are important. They define space. They define where we live. The more walls better in a home, it seems like the more value a home. Four bedroom, two bath, four bedroom, three bath. Ooh, let's get that home, right? Even though the bedrooms are like this big, you know, like a closet. But it says it. It says four bedroom, you know. More walls, the better, right? They define your space. And in our spiritual lives, we have to define what we believe. You have to know what you believe. You have to define it. You have to get it in your brain. We say, oh, well, people don't come to Jesus. You know, it's their decision. But are you telling them exactly what you believe? Are you telling them what the Bible says? Do you know what you believe? Let's get real. Do you really know? Can you give an apostolic, you know, can you give some answer for the faith that's in you? Can you reason your belief? Oh, I don't need to reason. Yes, you do. You have to reason. You have to know the Bible. You have to know the scriptures. But God says that we have to define what we believe. Walls are important. Walls do limit access, right? Who wants walls in their home? It doesn't make a home if you don't have that. It divides us protection from the enemies. It divides protection from the outside world. Walls are important. We build for comfort, but, you know, usually across the world, they build for necessity. They build because they have to have walls. I know a lot of bums in our city where I live. I never see bums, not as much as I do in South Florida where we are now, but these walls that they don't have, you know, and it's minus 40 degrees. Can you imagine walking around? Being a bum in South Florida is a lot different being a bum in Russia. But when you walk around Russia, you'll see the open manhole covers. And you think, why are these open manholes? There's just tons of open manhole covers. And when you're walking, you have to watch out for the manhole covers. There's nothing around there like tape or anything, you know, like we're like putting cones. There's nothing like that. It's just open. Because when you walk in, you see these bums on the street and then you see them disappear. Because they've jumped into the manhole cover to have shelter. Walls are important. Walls give us that protection from the elements. Walls give us, and you have to, in your spiritual life, we have to limit sin. We have to have walls in our life. We have to limit the amount of sin that's in our life. If you don't limit the amount of sin, then you're endangering, you know, your life, your eternity. You ever say to your kid, you know, this is my house and you're under my rules. You know, your mom used to say that to you. Now you say it. You say it to your kids, you know. This is my house. This is my rules. And you will come home at 11 o'clock. And da 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 da. I heard it all, right? And I'd come home at 12. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to have walls define ownership. Walls define ownership. This is my house. This is my rules. I don't need that paper anyway. This is my life. This is who I am. Who is a child of God? Who owns you? Jesus owns me. Walls define that ownership. God owns my life. I am the Lord's. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. I am God's chosen child. I am the Lord's. We affirm those boundaries. We characterize a place as our own, and I characterize my life with God. Do you characterize your life with God? Are you God's child? Then you have walls in your life that need to be there. You know, walls are important in our life. In the Bible times, you know, in Jerusalem, you know, they started building a wall around Jerusalem, right? Everybody knows there's a wall there. Well, back in David started that wall. And when he built that wall, he called the what was inside that wall the city of David. You know that city was 10 acres large. 10 acres. That's like a couple blocks. That's like this block area. Or maybe where the Holiday Inn is. That's 10 acres. That was the whole city. So these walls began to expand and contract like a breathing organism. And in Nehemiah, when Jews came back from exile, he rebuilt the walls and they expanded. They contracted. They expanded. They contracted. They were very important. You know, it's so funny because when Jesus died, when Jesus was crucified, what happened? What was the immediate thing that happened when Jesus died? The wall between the Holy of Holies, the wall, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, God just tore it down. See, we all build these walls up. We think it's all important. Oh, you know, we're trying to protect ourselves from the Gentile world. We're trying to protect ourselves from the enemy. And God says, enough of it. Enough of it. And he tears this curtain in two. And it says in Matthew 27:50, at that moment, the curtain was torn to from top to bottom. See, you no longer are on the outside. You can come in. God has a place for you. You are no longer just on the outside. And once a year, a priest comes in to atone for your sins. You atone for your own sins. That wall came down, and Paul explained it like this in Hebrews 10. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies, boldness, by the blood of Jesus, we have boldness to enter because a wall came down that separated God from us, a new and living way and consecrated for us, that veil, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with just full assurance. Sometimes we're so hesitant with God. We're so hesitant. I've done too much. There's too many walls. God says, no, my blood of Jesus, the blood I spilled, just tore it. We're so hesitant. We think that what we've done is too great to come to God. It could just be a Friday night where you had too much to drink. You don't come to church on Sunday morning. I've seen it. I remember seeing one of our parishioners, one of our members of our church, literally she was drunk in a building right adjacent to our church. And I see her just staggering out of the building. I'm like, what are you doing? But you know what? If she would have come to church that Sunday morning and she said, Jesus, forgive me, he would have done it. Because the wall isn't there anymore. Because every time you come to God, every time you intercede, Jesus is there. He is now our intercessor. We don't have to go through a person anymore. We don't have to go through anything anymore to reach God. We don't have to go through any rituals. It says that Jesus made a new and living way for us to reach God. He paid it all. My message is just so simple this morning. It says, Jesus is preparing a place for us, and he made a way for us to reach God, period. When I first went to Tuva, I remember people literally running after our car, chasing us. You think, well, what in the world is that? Now, we did have the KGB chase us as well, but we had people chasing us because we were having a crusade, and they would come into the crusade after chasing us, chasing our car, and get saved. The whole place. Remember, one guy was walking beside the church, and we had these little windows that opened to the church. And he was walking beside the church right when we were having a worship practice, not even a service. And he hears the words, Burgalino Cheter de Misus. And he's listening to this song, and it's the words of God bless. God will bless us. Praise you, Jesus. And he walks into our building, and he comes in, and he says, I need this Jesus. Who is he? Just a practice, a worship practice. I remember I was so sick one time, and I just came up, and I preached a terrible message to a group of kids. They were brand new. They had never been in a church before, didn't even know what a church was. And I gave an altar call. I could not hear. I could hardly speak. I was so sick. And at that moment when I gave the altar call, I said, who wants to become a Christian? And the whole place stood up and came forward. I'll never forget that. God can break the walls down, and he's made a place for us. There's a place for a sinner, but the church is busy building walls to protect it from them. We're busy building walls to protect us from those sinners. Sometimes we're so frustrated, we're scared in the church. We're frightened about what's going to happen. The question today is there a place for a sinner next to you this morning? Have you ever been able, have you been asked to like move down a seat? Don't do that. It's like my butt has warmed this seat and it's taken 5 minutes and you're making me, you know, like at a theater, like it's cold outside, it's wintertime, and like you're going into the theater and you're like, I just warmed this seat up. And then somebody says, can you move down a few? And you're like, dang, why did you ask me to do that? And then you move down and it's like cold again. And then they get to sit on your butt print, and you're like, that is just not fair. And they are all warm, but it's kind of weird, too, you know, when you sit on someone else's butt, where their butt was, and it's warm, and it's like, oh, that's kind of weird, too. But, you know, you're like, oh, but sometimes it's kind of nice, you know? Like, you know, you can sit in a nice, large space there, you know? You're like, oh, that's warm. But it's discomforting for us. We don't want to move down. Sometimes you're like, no, I'm not going to move down. And you're all rude about it. And then you're like, the person has to just crumble over you. And you're just like, okay, you know, and they're stepping on your feet. I'm like, step on my feet. I didn't move. But it's discomforting for us to change our seat, to move out of our place. It's discomforting us. And it's going to be discomforting for sinners to come in. It's going to be discomforting for us to see someone next to you that's a sinner. I remember the bums that would come in from the street. We had a church that had like a door like this, but it was minus 30 degrees. We would open that door, and literally it would be right there. We had no foyer. And so the church, when they would open the door, the people would come into that church just freezing, right, if you sat right there. But I remember the bums would come in, and they stunk so bad. But there was always a place for them. People scattered. I mean, it was like they had the place to themselves. You know, they came in and it stunk so bad that just people just made a place for them. I remember one guy, his eager, he came into the building, and his stench would have just curled your hair if you had flat hair. And eager came in, and he looked, I don't know, he just, his face was red. You know how you get puffy face when you drink a lot? And he had drugs in him. He had urine all over him. He was terrible. And I remember him coming in. But there was a place for him. He came into that place, and we took him to the rehabilitation center I was telling you about. We built a rehabilitation center. We built lots of rehabilitation centers, but this particular one was near the church where we were at. 6 months later, Eager comes back, and I'm like, oh, who's this new guy? I had no idea it was the same man. I wish I would have taken a picture of before and after, but, you don't want to take a picture of a guy coming into your church. But the guy literally was changed by the power of God. just change, just phenomenal. What is it going to take for those sinners to come in here? You want them?
Yes.
Do you want them?
Yes.
Do you want sinners or saints?
Sinners.
What's it going to take? Why aren't they here? Where are the bums on the street? You know, I mean, where are the people, the cross-dressers? You know what I'm saying? Where are those? You ever ask yourself that question? What are we doing wrong or whatever? Let me give you a couple things you can do. Number one, expand your borders. You know, when I first came in, Marjorie's taking me through the church that was 2 weeks ago here, and there was that wall out there that separated, and she said, the city made us put this wall up, but we're going to tear it down. And something in my spirit spoke up and said, Restoration Church is going to tear some walls down. Amen. I thought something just spoke to me and said, that's a prophetic thing that she just said. And when I came in this morning, the wall was gone. And I thought, ooh, God, what are you saying to us? Expand your borders. Expand out. You know, expand where we limit our abilities. We look at these empty seats and we think, oh, there's too many empty seats. But we forget about the empty hearts outside. You know? Don't look at those seats. It doesn't matter. What matters is those people outside who are empty, who are dying, who need us, need our witness. But we limit ourselves. Have you ever just prayed and prayed and prayed for somebody, never seen any progress? Come on. Have you ever just prayed for that loved one? Have you ever just prayed for that person? Have you ever just tried and tried and tried? There's this thing on YouTube, and you can look it up now or later. I don't care. I think they got Wi-Fi here, right? I can never log into your Wi-Fi. I'm like, I have no idea. There's this thing on YouTube, and go on there and type in flea experiment. I don't know how I found this. But in this flea experiment, there's this scientist, and he goes in and he gets this jar, and he puts a bunch of fleas in it. And you know, fleas are just nasty things. They just jump, and they jump on your dog. They get in your house. You have to, you know, jump on your cat, whatever it is. They're just nasty. So this scientist does this experiment. He puts a jar, and he puts the lid on the jar, and he leaves for 3 days. What do these fleas do? They just start jumping. And what are they doing? They're hitting their head, boom, 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 on the top of this jar. So after 3 days, he comes back to the jar. And he undoes the lid. And the most miraculous thing happens is those fleas stop jumping only to where the lid was. Even though they're free. Even though they're free to jump out and go on a dog, go on a pet, go on in their hair. They are free to do it. But they stopped. And the most interesting part of that was when he said, and their offspring also only jumps that far. See, in the church, we've limited ourselves. We stop praying because we don't see any results, or we've stopped witnessing because it's too hard, or we've stopped doing the things that we need to do, fasting for somebody, or we stop doing it because we are tired of hitting our head on that roof, and our offspring and our children are seeing this, and they're not reaching. And they're not reaching out. They're not reaching more. We've limited ourselves because God has given you the ability to reach. God has given you the ability to jump. God has given you the ability to do something great for this city. Let me tell you, Restoration Church, God isn't finished with you. God has just begun. God has started to do something in you because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It dwells in you. He dwells in you. You can reach people outside these walls. You will reach people outside these walls. You can expand your borders. Stop listening to the enemy that you can't do it. You can do it. Amen. You will do it. God has called you to do it. Oh, God bless it. It's so amazing what we can do when we start believing that. You know, Pastor Tim and I were talking 2 weeks ago, and I said, you know, we think that the church is facing its darkest day. We think because of decisions a court makes or because of, you know, decision we don't think are right, or we think the decisions that the government makes, or we see the church, you know, like being limited, or we see that, you know, oh, somebody's going to come in and hurt our church, or we see these things happening. We think the church is facing the darkest day. And you know what Pastor Tim told me? Your pastor said, but this could be the church's finest hour. But this could be it. We just got to leap a little further. We just got to go a little further. We got to pray a little more. Come on. We got to read that word. We got to get into the, we got to get in our lives with God just a little bit closer. We got to get further with God. You know, when Peter and John were arrested for preaching after Jesus was crucified, because those men were after Peter and John, the same men that were after Jesus were after Peter and John. And they came back after being arrested to the people that were waiting there. And the people said this in Acts 4:28. But everything they did, meaning the people who crucified Christ, was determined beforehand according to your will. Everything that has happened in this country, God knows about. God is not shaken. He is not stirred. He is not upset. You know that? God is not upset. He is not moved. Oh, look at those poor Americans. Oh, what will we do? Oh, fate. God is not moved. God is still in control. I heard a pastor one time preach not too long ago. I love him, but he said, it doesn't look like God's in control anymore. I thought, are you kidding me? You think God is stirred? Do you think God is upset? I don't think so. It says that in verse 29, they said this, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. And stretch out your hand with healing power, and may signs and wonders be seen. God is not moved, but we need to move. We need to go outside. What about going and doing a prayer walk and praying for people? When you meet a person in the street, you say, can I pray for you? And they say, what do you want to do that for? Well, because I'm a Christian and I just believe that maybe God needs to touch your life. Boom. That's not hard. It's almost easier to evangelize like a stranger than it is to your own family. You know, it's almost easier to do that than it is to your own friend who doesn't know Jesus, your coworker. But do it at work. Just ask to pray for people. Give God a chance. Jump a little further. I want to get up and jump right now, but I won't do it. I want to tell everybody, let's get up and jump. That's kind of stupid. So we need to go a little further with God. Expand our borders. The next thing we can do is keep the message and change the messenger. Keep the message and change. Who's the messenger? Me. There was a story one time of this lady, old lady. She was like, her husband wasn't saved. And she wanted him to be a Christian so bad. She told the pastor, she says, he's not being a Christian. I'm so frustrated. What do? I tell him every morning that he's going to die and go to hell. Every morning I tell him that, and he never repents. And the pastor looked at her and he says, okay, I got an idea for you. And this is an old time type thing to do, so bear with me. All the old timers, come on, say whoop, come on. This is an old time thing to do. He says, okay, stop doing that. Stop telling him he's going to hell. Stop witnessing to him. She says, okay. She says, what do I do now? She says, when you wake up in the morning, I want you to do something. I want you to do your hair up and put makeup on. And I want you to take that old nasty robe that you wear, and I want you to throw it in the hamper where it belongs and put on a new dress every morning. Go downstairs, make breakfast for your husband. Then when he comes downstairs, I want you to say this to him. I love you. And go over and give him a hug and a kiss. And just do it every morning. Lo and behold, 6 months later, she comes back to that old preacher, and she says, wow, a miracle has happened. My husband is now a Christian. He wants to come to church. Imagine that. Change the messenger. Change the way you're presenting the gospel. Change what you're saying. I remember when we were over in Russia, we would not go and just witness to people. We'd go over and do something for them. We'd go over and clean their floors, or we'd go over and help the people in the community. We'd go over and do that kind of stuff and show them kindness before we ever witnessed to them. There was a lady, she was a shaman, priestess. She was invited by the president of France to come over and give prophecy to her and the French people. A shaman priestess from Tuva, Siberia. Okay, if you look at the map, you can go up above Mongolia. That's where it was, in Tuva. That's where we lived for 15 years. She came into one of our meetings to curse our meeting. Can you imagine a shaman or an Indian coming in and sitting in the back row and doing, you know, one of these actions, trying to curse Restoration Church? Would there be a place for them? Would you want to escort them out, maybe? You know? Would you want to get them out of the building? Well, she came in to curse us. Well, she was sitting there, the power of God hit her. She was convicted of her sins, and she became a Christian and a leader in one of our churches. See, when you show kindness to people, when you show love to people, you're doing what God does. You're doing what Jesus does. One of my favorite scriptures in Romans 2:4, it says, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Not his wrath? Not his judgment?" Did you know that God's kindness and his tolerance is intended to turn you from your sin? I'm so glad it's like that. God just drew me in like this. He didn't ruin me. He wasn't there. He says in this, in 1 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. And 10, instead, he is patient with you, not willing that anyone would perish, but all come to repentance. God is so patient with us. Change the messenger. Change how you're presenting Jesus. The last thing, and this is a final thing, is prepare a place in your heart for the lost. Remember one place we went? It was violent. They were after us. They literally were going to kill us after giving them the gospel message. It was just kind of like an outdoor evangelism, and we did this, and I didn't understand what they were saying. They were speaking in Tuvan. I speak more Russian than I speak Tuvan. And they said, "Heather, we've got to get out of here." Because they were speaking in Tuvan, they were saying, "We're going to kill them." They didn't want to hear the gospel. They didn't want anything to do with the gospel. And we escaped that place with an inch of our lives. A week later, one of our youth leaders, we did a lot of evangelism with the youth, Chagana says, "We've got to go back there." I said, "What? We've got to go back? They wanted to kill us. Why would you want to go back to a place that's so violent? So you're going to die. You're going to take youth there?" I thought she was absolutely nuts. But her heart for the lost, her heart for people who even wanted to do something physically to her heart just broke for those people. And we did go back. And we kept going back. And today, this morning, there's a church standing right at that place where there is no church. And people are being saved this very morning. See, God is in the business. He's in the business of not just expanding your borders or not just changing the messenger, but he's also in the business of developing a heart for the lost in you and me. Develop a heart for the lost people of this world. Is there a place in this church for a sinner? I tell you this, as Ronald Reagan stood up on that day, Restoration Church, tear down that wall. Restoration Church, I don't know why I'm here today, but the only thing I can tell you is tear down the walls. Come on. Tear down the walls, whatever it is, between you and your family, and you got them there. I know you do. We all do. Anybody that knows my family, I'm trying to tear walls down. I'm trying. People that I pray for, my family, year after year after year, I never see a result. Tear down the wall. Fast more, pray more, do more. Restoration Church, tear down the wall that as a lesbian cross-dresser would feel comfortable coming in these doors and you would gladly move over for her or him to take your spot. Replace the anger and the frustration, the judgment. Replace it with kindness. It's not an easy message because walls are important. It's not an easy message because we value our walls, and we should. They keep us from sin, but don't keep us from the sinner. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Jesus, we know you said in your word that the healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And Jesus, you said, I come to call those, not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. The temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks split apart and the curtain was torn. And the tombs opened, and the bodies of many godly men and women who were dead were raised from the dead. And they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. Father God, I pray that that would be us today. That as we build, as we tear those walls down between us and the world, as we tear the walls down, we expand our borders. I pray for a resurrection power to happen in our hearts today. I pray for resurrection, God, to happen. That this is not a cemetery. This is not a place where people die. This is a place where we gain life. This is a place where people are encouraged. People are built up. Walls are down. Sin is no more in this church. And Father, I pray, God, that every person in this room would experience that resurrection. Trusting you and trusting, Father God, how faithful you are in our lives. And right now, in this room, I just want you to start praying for that person in your life. Just say, Jesus, save them. Jesus, break down the walls. Maybe you have walls in your heart of anger, frustration, hate. Father God, I pray that people in this room would realize that your kindness is there to lead others to repentance. If that's you, say, that I need a little refreshing. I need a little refreshing in my heart. I need to tear some walls down. Just raise your hand. I see your hands. Father God, whatever walls it is that we need to tear down, I pray in the name of Jesus that we make a decision today to do the right thing. Say the right words and be the people of God you've called us to be. Oh, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for building up walls. Forgive us, God, for not listening and obeying you, Father God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, and I pray for every loved one, every person, God, that is in our life, in our sphere of influence. I pray, God, that you would begin to tear those walls down so that the Holy Spirit would come in and replace those walls with his peace and his liberation and his power, just as you did in that Berlin Wall. I pray that you would do it in our hearts and our families in the name of Jesus. And every eye closed and every head bowed still, and I want to ask a question that's very important. Is there anyone in this room that would say, listen, I have never experienced Jesus in my life. I don't know him as Savior and Lord. I've built up walls in my heart, but I need him to forgive me of my sins. Just raise your hand up and put it back down. I see your hands. I see your hands. Father God, I pray for every person in this room that raised their hand. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that would say, listen, I need Jesus. I need him as my Savior and my Lord. Is there anyone else? The whole congregation, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Set me free to love you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look at me. It was a privilege to be here with you today. If you said that prayer for the very first time, Randy's right here in the back. He wants to talk to you for a little while and just kind of give you some instruction and just something, you know, so that you can continue your life with Christ, so you can be discipled. Now, I want you in this room today, I want this to be a challenge to you to step out of your comfort zones. Come on. Step out, jump a little further. Don't be the flea in the experiment. Let's not be little fleas, restoration fleas. Let's be freedom fleas, where we can jump higher and go further. Amen. God bless you and have a great week. I enjoyed being here with you. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.